Blog Talk Radio.
Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties, says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
Fast on a rough road, riding high.
You didn't build that.
Through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning, further from my home.
Shut up your mouth, Mr. Obama. Shut up your mouth, Mr. Obama.
Be young, like a new moon rising, fierce.
I've got a pen.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Yes, we can.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free.
I've got a pen.
I was born free.
And I've got a phone.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Like the grandest canyon, wild, like an untamed stallion. If you can't see my heart, you must be blind.
What difference at this point does it make?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
I've got a pen.
Welcome aboard the program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom regardless of that cost. Look, we're not buying a used car here. This is our freedom, damn it. Freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, you want to be a part of the program tonight? Don't be shy. 646-716-7978 or 78, or you can join the captain's chat room. Now, remember, if you do want to talk tonight, make sure you press the number 1. It gives me an icon, tells me that you want to talk. Otherwise, it tells me that you want to listen. And listening is okay. Listening is fine. There's nothing wrong with listening. Now, tonight, we have a very special guest on board with us, Al Sarmad. We only have him for about an hour, but if he wants to spend the full 2 hours with us, he is more than welcome to. Whatever time he has to spend with us will be time well spent. This is the kind of guy that you could talk to all day and way into the night. He is filled with that much knowledge. So I am very thankful that he has agreed to come on this program tonight. So however much time he wants to spend with us, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for 5 minutes, but I could talk to this guy all night long. And you know me, you listen to this program, you know I never shut up. And he doesn't shut up either. That's the thing. That's why I'm so glad, so honored to have this guy on here, because he has so much knowledge and he has a lot to tell us, a lot of truth, which is what we're missing. That's what we're missing in this country. We don't hear the truth anymore. We don't get to hear the truth. You watch the news, you think you're getting the news from the news? Really? You do? What the hell is the matter with you? Pay attention. You're not getting the news from the news. Well, Al has a master's degree in business administration. He's got a master's degree in homeland security / national security. He is the lead administrator of the American Patriots on Facebook. He's a teacher and educator at the college level. a Delaware resident, and a social economic technician, and a very anti-New World Order, which right there makes him, right there, absolutely, this guy, we love him already, just being anti-New World Order. All you got to say to be on, to be loved on this program, are you anti-New World Order? Yes. Then you are loved on this program. You are welcome, program. Anyone who is a fan of the New World Order will change your channel now. We have no tolerance for the New World Order here. I will not tolerate it. I will not accept it. I will not have anything to do with you. You go away. We don't have time for you. Pay attention. And look, if a dummy like me can learn this kind of stuff of what the hell is happening here, there's no excuse why you can't. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. It does not take very much to actually get yourself educated. Just a little bit of time. That's all it takes. Just a little bit of time to get yourself educated. That's all it takes. A little bit of time. That's it. But nobody wants to spend the time. Everybody wants to sit on the couch and watch their Kim Kardashian show choking on bags and bags and bags of Cheetos. They don't want to get themselves involved. Because once they acknowledge that there's a problem, then they're going to have to become proactive. And they don't want to become proactive. That means they're going to have to actually do something. Yeah, that's right. You're going to have to get off your ass. I'm sorry. But you're going to have to, at some point, at some time, you're going to have to get off your ass and become proactive. It's just the way it is. You want to be free? Well, you got to earn it. You got to work for it. As soon as we got our freedom, as soon as you get your freedom, you've got to work even harder to keep it. And that's what we're missing. Nobody wants to work to keep it. They think, oh, well, we're free. The television tells me we're free. We got a constitution that tells me we're free. Really? Oh, it tells us we're free, but are we? Well, no. Okay, then. How in the hell can you possibly think you're free? You're not. Time to wake up. All right, I'm sorry for blasting off here. But, you know, there are times, I just can't take it anymore. I'm frustrated. I'm pissed off. I cannot take it anymore. I'm done. Well, Al's going to be on board here tonight to discuss among many topics. If I could ever shut up and bring him on here, we might get started with this. But he's going to talk about the hoaxes that we are forced to believe by our government and the media, namely the Sandy Hook, this latest Virginia reporter shooting, and the way that the police handled the Boston bombing. Now, why are these hoaxes being perpetrated? Why are they being perpetrated on us? Who is responsible, and why do the American people continue to believe them? I don't know. Honest to God, I don't know. Hopefully, Al can explain this to all of us, and we might actually learn something tonight. So again, if you want to join the discussion, the number is 646-716-7978, and make sure you press the number 1, and I will bring you on board. All right, let's bring our special guest on board with us tonight. Now, he gave me one number that he was going to call from, but I think he's got another number here. It's the same area code, so we're going to find out if we've got him. So let's push this button right here and find out if we have our special guest. Al, my good friend, are you on here tonight?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Ken.
Good. I'm glad I got it. I know you got the, you gave me one number, but I seen the area code. But anyway, first of all, Al, I want to thank you for coming on board this program tonight. I know you're a busy man. I know you've got a lot of stuff to do. You come on a lot of programs, but I really want to, I'm very grateful that you're coming on this program tonight, and as much time as you've got to spend on here, you're welcome. And if you want to take the full 2 hours, you are more than welcome, because I swear to God, I could talk to you all night long. I really appreciate you coming on board here and wanting to tell the truth. And that's what's missing in this country today, is the truth. Nobody wants to tell the truth. And if you tell the truth, well, you get penalized. If you lie, well, if you lie well enough, well, you could become president. And this is a problem in this country. Nobody wants to tell the truth. Everybody's afraid to tell the truth, and I'm sick and tired of it. I can't take it anymore. I'm frustrated. I'm done. So let's start off here. These hoaxes that we have had to endure over the last few years, namely Sandy Hook and recently this Virginia so-called reporter and slash cameraman shooting. But I do want to get into the Boston bombing as well. But, you know, I have my own opinions on this, but I am more interested in your opinion on this because you're the expert. I'm not. Why are these hoaxes happening? Who's involved? And why are the American people so eager to believe them? Why? What's going on here?
Well, honestly, thank you very much for the intro, and thank you for having me on. I'll just dive right into it. The issue is we are being managed into slavery. If you remember seeing the cartoon, the movie Ants, there's more ants than there were grasshoppers, but the grasshoppers ran everything, and they managed the ants through fear. Well, I know that's a cartoon, but the methodology in the psychology is the same when you're dealing with a minority of people who have the power and an armed populace that we have
right.
in the United States, okay?
Right.
So you would be stupid to just come up one day and say, hey, guys, turn all your guns in. You don't have any more free speech. The Fourth Amendment is gone. All your amendments are gone. You can't do that because that would create a revolution the same day, just like Lexington and Concord.
Right.
You know, these people that are doing this, they're not stupid. This is PhD-level evil that we are dealing with, okay?
Right.
They have a very good knowledge of history. They already know what you will do and what you won't do. They have the benefit of having the backside information from Facebook, Twitter, you know, your LinkedIns, everything that's electronic. You know, they've already have this big file on every one of us, and they can basically do actuarial type of, analysis on what you will do if there's something that happens to come up in the future. But we're being managed into slavery, and that's basically how it is, and it's through deception. There's a long history on all these things that I'm going to touch on because these same tactics have happened for the last 1,000 years or so.
Right.
And the human psyche keeps falling into the same trap of being goaded or being manipulated and then having the system, put something out there and then having people go along with it. And it's something psychological that's already in our brains that we want to believe it because we want to believe the truth. Well, today...
You just hit on something right there, and I hate to interrupt you, but you just hit on something right there. And, you know, I find that because I cover a lot of very heavy subjects, and that's what it is. You know, I do cover mainly my show. It started off being about politics, and then, I found out about Justina Pelletier and about the family courts, and it just kind of escalated into that. But you're absolutely correct. People do not want to believe that our government is doing these things. Our police departments are doing these things. Our doctors, our school teachers. They don't want to believe that. So they think, well, it can't be true. And they immediately go, well, if you're not really doing anything wrong, then you've got nothing to worry about. Well, that's what the Germans
right.
said in the 1930s. And
right.
look what happened to them.
Right.
So, no, you
right.
hit on something right there. And the people just don't want to believe it. Because as soon as you acknowledge that there's a problem, immediately you have to become proactive. And people don't want to do that. They don't
right.
want to get involved. And I hated to interrupt you on that, but I wanted to stress that point. And I'm glad you brought that up. But anyway, you got the floor here. I'm sorry.
Well, I want to start at an occurrence that I think might have escaped a lot of people in the news. The current administration, when Obama first took office, he hired Steven Spielberg. Now, that might have escaped a lot of people, but think about it. What does a movie producer do? What does the movie industry do? They take
right.
a set of films or occurrences, and they string them together, and they make the unbelievable look believable.
Right.
Okay? Because none of this stuff happening in movies, Transformers doesn't exist, but when you put it on a movie, it looks real. Well, the same methodology is being placed on the American people with some of these shootings. Now, Sandy Hook was a complete false flag. I actually had some people look into some things locally for me in Connecticut. They never found any death certificates being filed. It turns out Adam Lanza died 2 weeks from leukemia before it even happened. Mm-hmm. The school was boarded up and not being used because of hurricane damage the previous years before. And the cream of the crop of this info comes from the FBI themselves. On their site still today, they list the fatalities at Sandy Hook as zero. So it's in your face. It's this psychology that they're playing on you, and the American people have to sit back. Don't be enraged by what you see, because they want that. Our brains are separated in left hemisphere, right hemisphere. One side governs our fear and our action, and the other side is the artistic side, the caring side. Well, they don't want that side. Because
right.
that side of our brain is very accepting. It's very thoughtful. It's very caring. It's very human. They want the side that reacts to fear, that reacts to emotion, and that's the part of the brain that they're targeting. When you see, oh my God, there's a shooting that's in Sandy Hook. Your caring side, your emotion, your the side of your brain that actually wants to sit back and just mellow out and just chill and have this information come to you slowly, that's shut off. They want to target that part of your brain where they want you to react to something.
Right.
And that reaction came in the form of the gun registration. And that was the goal of Sandy Hook, was to see if they could psyop the American people in an occurrence that did not happen, to see
right.
if you could go along with turning in your rights. And that's exactly what happened. I tell people all the time, when these things happen, be very slow to judgment, because there's always facts that come out later than a month or 2 months or 3 months or even a year. You know, we're just now finding out that the government just admitted Gulf of Tonkin was a ruse just to get into the war.
In high school. I knew that, and I graduated in high school in 84. There was a lot of speculation with that. And, you know, you're right. But it didn't come out in mainstream. And nobody knows anything and does unless they hear it on television. Nobody
right.
wants to do the actual work. They don't want to research. They don't want to find the information out themselves. They just want it all spoon-fed for them. Well, the television
right.
is perfect. That's perfect. All they got to do is sit on the couch with their bags of Cheetos and just spoon feed me the information that I need, and now I'm completely educated. Well, you're not.
Right. Right. Like, for example, you know, this type of psychology that's being played on us is not just in the United States. You know, you look at the Charlie Hebdo shooting that happened in France. Okay.
Right.
That's a two-layer occurrence. You had people that were running around on foot, apparently shooting at one another, but then you'd have the police in the same area, and the cameras were placed just right to catch all this stuff. Then we find out later, and I did this through my own personal connections that I have up in Ottawa and Manitoba and Canada, that part of that Charlie Hebdo shooting was filmed in the film studios in Canada. If you look at the shooting again, because I'm also an expert in video forensics, you take the video and you slow it down frame by frame, and there are some things that just come out to you. It just calls out to you. First of all, if you've ever been to Paris, you know for a fact that there's dog crap all over the sidewalks. The Parisians love their bikes. There's trash everywhere. It's like a dirty New York City. Now, you look at the Charlie Hebdo shooting where they're actually standing over the guy and they're shooting him in the head. Okay, first of all, that's not Paris. Okay, it's clearly not Paris. Second of all, the when you slow the film down, you look at the trajectory of the bullet that comes out of the rifle, it misses his head by 6 inches. Now,
right, I've seen that too. I did see that too, and I was amazed. I thought, what the? You know, I didn't really notice it at first because I just watched it on the news. And what you see on the news is never what, you know, anything that's on the surface is never what's in the middle. But when you watch videos, and I know YouTube is YouTube, but, YouTube is a tool, but if you use it improperly, it's a weapon. But if you use it as a tool, yeah, you could definitely see that that the trajectory was completely off.
Right. The human head has how many quarts of blood in it? And, the Chinese have done very well documenting when they take somebody out and execute them. It's very graphic. I would never give anybody these photos, but I've seen them where, the Chinese will just take somebody out and they'll just put one round in their head with a real rifle. And, what you see is a big, huge, super huge pool of blood, and part of the head is actually, like, off. It's literally cracked like a melon. Now, what you see in that video, you don't see that.
No.
Now, it either could be an AK-47, which is a 7.62 round, or it could be a AK-74 that the Russians changed to in 1974, which is a 5.45 round. They'll both do the same thing.
Right.
You'll both see blood loss from both those types of rounds, and that's not what you see in the photo evidence of this Charlie Hebdo shooting. So you've got two layers that are going on, and they merge them to give you some type of video, movie, Hollywood style, something's going on. But that's not the case. But to the untrained eye, it looks like it's seamless, but it's really not.
Why is this happening? I mean, is it really about starting a war with people? Is it really about, I know what's on the surface. I know why the Virginia Virginia shooting, I know why Sandy Hook, and even these, Batman shooting. There was something there about that story right there that I really didn't, there was a lot of red flags that popped into my head, and I don't know too much about it. But, why is it so necessary to go to this length to get a point across? Why are we doing this?
It's not about a point. This is an attack on our rights, and it has a clear objective of tricking you out of your rights. Okay, you touched on the Colorado shooting. Okay, well, first of all, my personal investigation in that, there's more than just him. Okay. First of all, there's a blood trail that leads from the back of the movie theater, and a girl was stabbed in the neck. Well, not a girl. She's probably a young woman. I'd say maybe in her 20s. Was stabbed in her neck, and she ran from the parking lot back to the movie theater. And you could see the blood splatters on the ground, and it's very directional. It's going in one direction. So in other words, she got nicked in her jugular vein, and she's running back to the movie theater. You mean to tell me where the guy was shooting? No. There was somebody that grabbed her, tried to kidnap her. She fought back, and he stabbed her in the neck. And there's also another gas mask in the back of the building. Now, what does this tell me? It tells me that if she was running back toward the building, she felt that the danger outside was greater than the danger inside, which means that there had to be more than one person. Why would she be running back to the movie theater? Was there a car there? Most likely there was. There's a highway that's right in the back of the movie theater. His apartment was wired. His apartment was wired with a very, very complicated and intricate IED. Now, where did he learn that from? Supposedly he was under psychological evaluation by his doctor. And, she called around and says, hey, this guy might go loopy. She called his mom, said, hey, watch out for this guy. She called the campus security and said, hey, if you see this guy on campus, red flag him. He's got some problems. But she did all that, but she had her power to commit him, but she didn't. Okay?
No.
She didn't. So the issue remains is there are so many red flags in this, it's not funny. First of all, that movie theater was chosen for this occurrence because Colorado has a no-gun policy in movie theaters.
Right.
If you carry concealed legally, you can't carry in there in the movie theater, which I think is stupid anyway. But that's why that happened. It was a very safe zone for a criminal to do what he wanted to do. But
to me it seems like this kid and some of these other mass shootings. It almost seems like they are, I guess they're just, I don't know how to put it, but are they just following orders from somebody else and they're just carrying this out? Are they really in prison? And do they just show up in court in a particular prison outfit to make it look good? I mean, are they just following orders, and who's giving them the orders? And why are they following it? I mean, am I over analyzing this whole thing here?
No. I think what they're doing is they're using people that are already on the edge anyway. You know, the Columbine shooter pretty much was, he was already off. He was already under psychological evaluation, and he was being treated, but not with antipsychotics, as far as I know. But even look at what happened around the same time. You had a Sikh temple shooting where this guy Wade comes in and he flips out and he just starts shooting people. You know, to give you a little bit of background on him, he was an ex-Army private that worked at Fort Bragg and Fort Bliss, you know, repairing missiles. And he got kicked out for intoxication and going AWOL while on duty. So then, you know, he comes out of the military, and then he decides to hook up with some white supremacists and then just supposedly goes and does a shooting. Yes, he did do it. But the problem that I have with the shooting is that the eyewitnesses described three more additional people that were with him. Now, why is it that when we are talking about this, things like this, the first facts that come out normally are the ones that are a little bit more credible than others? You know, if somebody says, hey, I saw three guys walking in there, and then there's another guy say, yeah, there was three guys and two guys ran in the woods, I don't discount anything. I'm going to look at all evidence, and I'm going to file it for later. But Wade was the only guy who was charged with this crime. Now, the Sikh temple shooting and the Colorado shooting, if I'm not mistaken, happened around the same time. So why is it that both of them have an alleged extra people with them that were not caught? So are these people being handled? And that's from the intelligence community. You could actually say these guys could possibly be handled, and there's a history of that. You know, the first time that the World Trade Centers were attacked, the Egyptian sheikh in New York City hatched the plans to say, you know what, we want to do something. We want to bomb something. We want to bomb the World Trade Center. But they didn't have the expertise or the material to do it. So the FBI finds out about the plan, and instead of arresting all these guys, they help them build the bomb. They help them build the bomb, and then they give them the materials to do it. And then the liaison, who actually is I think his name was Ahmad Salam. I can't remember his name. That might have been his name. But they were trying to set him up, too. And,
well,
you know,
wasn't Osama bin Laden actually working with the CIA? Wasn't he, like I wouldn't say a CIA agent, but, I mean, wasn't the CIA actually working with Osama bin Laden? And I heard a lot of stories that he was actually dead, like,
yeah,
6 years.
Was.
Or 9/11 even occurred.
He suffered from kidney dialysis, a kidney failure. So it's very hard to have a dialysis machine, and you need to be hooked up to dialysis quite frequently so you won't die. It's hard to have that in the desert. So how does this man, where there's no power around, have a dialysis machine in the desert? Common sense tells you he can't be there, so he has to be somewhere else. And if that somewhere else happens to be someplace with power, that means it's not in Afghanistan. Maybe it's in Pakistan.
Well, what a perfect person to blame this on if he's already dead. Because
precisely,
how are you,
just,
you know what I mean? I mean,
just like Adam Lanza. Adam Lanza was dead two weeks before from leukemia. That's why they said, we're going to keep his grave a secret.
You know, that whole Sandy Hook, and if you look at it, now, here's the things that really bothered me. One, the school was really closed. It was used as a storage unit, and they supposedly had this great and wonderful, I mean, this state-of-the-art security system, but it just happened to be turned off that day. Now, first of all schools have a security system, and you don't turn it off. You don't turn it off.
Right.
Why would that be turned off?
And also, I'm sorry, go ahead. Good.
No. You go ahead.
The state had a drill the very same day for active shooter.
Right.
I saw it myself. You know, it's probably redacted off of their site, but they had it the same day. What are the chances that they would have an active shooter drill with all these ABC organizations involved on the same day that this happens at an abandoned school with mold on the walls and the paint falling off and it
right.
was boarded up, part of it was boarded up. Really? Seriously? And
yeah.
then you see the video where they say they can't – if you review the video again, they don't know what weapon he used. They say, oh, it was a handgun. Oh, wait, no, it was a rifle. But then they look in a car and there's a shotgun in there. Come on,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah,
get your story straight.
I know. They were – yeah, I've seen that. They pulled the shotgun out of the back of the trunk. And I'm – yeah, you're right. I mean, and that – you know, at first when I watched this at the very beginning – that pathologist. Now, at first when I watched him, I thought, okay, well, a lot of these pathologists, and I've met a lot of these people, yeah, are they weird? Yeah, they're oddball people. They are weird because they're very intelligent. So I just chalked it up to this guy being weird. But I always thought, wait a minute, there was something off with this guy. And there was also something off with the sheriff who got up there and quickly shut down that one reporter who wanted to ask questions. And then when
right.
you start watching the videos, and supposedly these people were supposed to go to this firehouse, but they're all walking around in circles. And they got that one guy who's just pacing back and forth. And then you have these phony interviews. Now, these phony interviews, I'm sorry. Now, look, I know that everybody grieves differently. I understand it. I get it. I don't have a problem with it. But if your six-year-old daughter is ruthlessly gunned down from 3 to 11 bullets in her kindergarten class, the last goddamn thing you're going to do is go on CNN the next day and be laughing about it right before
right.
you start your interview.
Right,
No. And that Virginia shooting with that father? Now, here's what really bothers me about this. Now, if you look at the shooting, okay, first of all, there is no – now, if you've ever shot a 9mm, now, I do understand you are a gun enthusiast. You have guns. You've shot guns. I'm sure you've probably shot a 9mm before. Well, so have I. Well, 9mm, when you shoot the gun – okay, there is a spent shell casing that has to exit the gun, because if it doesn't, then the next shell can't come into the chamber. But if you
right.
look at this, there are no spent shell casings coming out of that gun. How does that
right.
happen? And what is with that phony, ridiculous, you know, the flame coming out of there? What the hell was that? And she never fell down. This girl weighed, what, 125 pounds sopping wet? What, are you kidding me? She was not a very big girl. You get shot with a hollow point bullet, I guarantee you, I don't care what your size is, at that close range, you're going to hit the deck. You're going to hit the ground, and there's going to be blood coming out. And that woman who did nothing but scream and drive me up the frickin' wall, no blood was on her, and she's all dressed in white standing right next to her? What are you kidding? This guy had a different shirt on. If you look at the gun, he's got a blue shirt on. Then you look at you get a shot of this supposed shooter from the camera angle, which the camera, if you notice, the camera was very gently laid down to the ground. God forbid if they destroyed that camera, because they're really, really expensive. So they laid that gently down. You could tell that. But his shirt was already rolled up. How the hell do you change your shirts in between shots? How the hell do you do that? Why are there no spent shell casings? And why did this girl not fall to the ground? She ran out of camera. Well, we don't want to get you hurt in this murder, so just run out of the view of the camera. I mean,
yeah,
I watched that the first day. I was like, no, this can't be true.
Yeah, they're actors. I mean, I look at it from a digital forensics point of view. You take
right.
the video again, and you slow it down, and you blow it up. Anybody knows that if a bullet comes out at, I don't know how many feet per second, it has to hit your clothes first before it hits the, you know, epidermis of your skin. So there's going to be some pressure wave disturbance on your clothes, especially a nice little blouse that she was wearing, and you
yeah.
don't see any of that.
No.
And secondarily, you don't see blood. You don't see her stumble or react to being shot.
No.
A lot of people freeze when they're shot. They're like, oh, my God, you're shooting me. You know, some people, I mean, it's not believable, but to the untrained eye, to the people who are just looking at this, where, again, they're trying to psychologically target that brain, the part of your brain that they want you to react to. To them, it's real. But
if
you
notice
down,
the part that they showed, they only showed that part where it was just a couple of little bang, bang, and then they cut it. They didn't show the full thing. If you watch the full thing, she is running. They didn't show that. The TV didn't show that part. You got to find that part on YouTube. But nobody wants to take the time to actually look at it. I mean, there are so many things wrong with that Virginia shooting. I mean, and then the guy, the supposed father. Okay, here's his daughter supposedly gunned down on live television, and the first person he calls is the friggin' governor? Who are you? You're not going to call the governor? The governor? And talk about gun control? And then go on Megyn Kelly that night? What, are you kidding me? Again, I know people grieve differently, but you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. You're going to be with your family. You're going to be with your... You should be. Megyn Kelly, look, should have had enough into her to say, wait a minute, your daughter just got gunned down on live television and you want to come on my show here tonight? Wait a minute, red flag! You know, let me ask a couple of questions. But did she? No, she just wants to get the scoop. It's all about money. It's all, look how much money they're making off of this crap. And who's making this money? And who's paying them? This is what I'd like to know. Who's really making this money? Because people aren't going to do this crap without money involved. Human beings aren't, they don't even wipe their butt without getting paid. So who's actually making the money, and who's paying this money? This is what I'd like to know. Do we have any clue?
That is a very good economic forensic question, and I don't have any information on that. I don't know who's paying for what. But I do know that when there's an active shooter drill, they'll put it out on Twitter or, you know, on Facebook or, you know, most likely on the primary source is what is that site? Oh, man, it's on the tip of my tongue. Craigslist. They'll put it out on Craigslist that the specific city needs – you know, active shooter drill, whatever. So I would assume that who's ever putting it up has to come from the local municipality or the city or the town or the state. And in that respect, I would guess that the state would have to pay for it, you know, in that respect. So this, to me, looks like it was a staged event because, you know, if you discharge a weapon that close, and especially a woman, you know, she's going to drop, she's going to stammer, there's going to be blood, there's going to be a snatch on her clothes, and you don't see any of that.
Well, you know, with a full metal jacket bullet, okay, it's designed to go right through you. Now, if you get shot, okay, yeah, you might be stunned, it might go through you so quick you don't even have a clue what hit you. But if that's a hollow point bullet, you're going to drop. I don't care how much you weigh, you're going to drop. You're going to drop. Is it that close? There's no way. You know, unless this guy was a horrible shot. But if you look at the two videos compared together, he's still shooting at her while she's running away, and you can see the camera being very gently laid to the ground. Well, how the hell can he be shooting at her and shooting the cameraman at the same time?
Do you know how many police shootings I've seen where they actually wear the body camera and they've shot a guy, he drops after the first hit? So why is it that this woman does not drop?
Because she wasn't shot. Yeah, you're right. I mean, look, I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot of brain power. And I don't have a lot, you know, of brain power left. You know, I've drank too much. I've smoked too much. I've done too much in my life, so I don't have enough brain power. So if a dummy like me can figure this out, why the hell can't the American people, unless they're lazy and they just don't want to? I mean, is that really where we are? Is it just the American people just don't want to accept the fact that there are bad people in the world? Is it because they just don't want to get involved? I mean, what is the psychology? I'm trying to find this stuff out, and that's why I bring people like you on board this program, because I'm just in search for the truth, because we don't get the truth on television. People think they're watching the news, and they think they're getting the truth. I don't watch the news anymore because I'm not getting the truth.
Americans are losing their ability to critical think, to critical take a set of variables and draw a conclusion from it and stick to it. You know, back when Kennedy was shot, you know, the average American did a lot better. You know, you saw in the Zapruder film, you saw JFK get shot from from the back and the front, but supposedly they invented this idea of the magic bullet. Oh, yeah, there's a magic bullet. It goes out, it turns 90 degrees, goes through Connolly, comes back, makes another 90-degree turn.
Right.
Oh, okay, now, we all know, because I've been an avid shooter, I got a Glock on my hip right now, there's no way that a bullet, the physics do not work. They
right.
don't work like that. But that theory was put out there, and the people, the Americans, have said, you know what, hey, that's BS. That's crap. There's no way that that can happen. Then they came out with the idea of conspiracy theorists, where the people that
right.
could do critical thinking were now demonized as some crazy people.
Right.
And that's kind of where we are right now, is that the average American is afraid to take a stand and say, you know what, this doesn't make sense to me. And I'm going to say it doesn't make sense to me. I'm not going to go along with the mainstream idea, and I'm going to stick to my guns. They don't want to be ostracized, and they want to be politically correct, and they don't want to, you know, hurt
right.
anybody's feelings. And, you know, that's not getting us anywhere. It's getting us nowhere. And the system is benefiting from that purposeful ignorance.
Right, and you're right. If you come out and you actually tell the truth, you are actually penalized nowadays for actually telling the truth. And, oh, well, you're a conspiracy theorist. Oh, you're one of these crazies because you follow the Constitution. Well, yeah,
right.
I do. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And you
right.
can't tell a cop about the Constitution anymore. You're crazy. There's something wrong with you. If you follow the Constitution, you believe in the Bill of Rights. Behind, this is no joke, and I've talked about this on my show several times. You were labeled as a domestic terrorist because you believe
Very
in
true.
Individual freedom.
Very
I mean,
true.
Individual freedom. I mean, that's just part of life. I mean, that you shouldn't have to have that put on a piece of paper. That should be inside of you. Individual freedom, right?
Yeah, well, we're in some very bad times now because, you know, ever since JFK was shot, there's been this incrementalization of a police state little by little. You know,
You're
it's
right.
even in the financial banking area, little by little, everybody works together, and now we're in this big, huge problem. And honestly, I don't think that we're going to solve it, you know, without some type of friction in the future. I just don't see that happening. You know,
you're absolutely correct. I've talked about this a lot, and I'm trying to end this war before it starts, but I'm smart enough to realize I don't need a crystal ball. But we're headed for a world war that is going to be, I mean, the bloodiest war that we've ever seen on planet Earth. It is going to be a civil war wherever you go. Every nation, every continent is going to be at war. And we don't. And you're right. With the New World Order, yes, absolutely. This is what it's bringing down. Because this is how they get control over you. First, they start with, they got to destroy the family unit. They've got to destroy that. Because, you know, we can't have families sticking together. You know, and strength is within numbers. And this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to do the whole world. Nazis only tried to do Germany and Europe. Well, this New World Order is trying to do the entire world. And
right.
that started,
and
I do believe, the Trilateral Commission and all this other crap. I do believe that was the beginning after World War II. I do
yes.
believe that's really when it started.
The problem is the reason why they're coming after us now is that they pretty much got the rest of the world under their thumb. They know how they want to do the rest of the world.
Right.
We are the biggest threat on planet Earth because we are an armed society. And the founders, in their wisdom, I mean, yeah, they decided to arm the population, and that was the best thing that they could have done because at any time it was designed that we could be able to take our rights back. Whatever the system, took from us, we could fight and get them back. Well,
right,
the
that's the purpose
that.
Of the Second Amendment, but nobody
right.
knows that.
Right,
they're not
right.
taught that in school.
Right. The system knows what I'm telling you now, and it's one of their biggest fear, because if we, as an armed society, rise up and take our rights back, restore freedom the way it's supposed to be. It is not only an example to us, it's an example to the rest of the world.
Exactly.
That is what they really fear, is that the American people will wake up being the sleeping giant that we are, and everybody is in lockstep, and we, as one nation, take our freedoms back. And they don't
right.
want the rest of the world to be in the same position and look at us as an example. They want us to, you know, that's why they're doing all these things where they're tricking us out of our rights instead of coming to us and fighting for them. There's more at stake than everybody realizes.
Well, you know, you just hit on something, and I want to get into this Boston bombing. Now, a lot of people, you know, I don't really care. Look, if you want to surrender your rights, okay, that's your business. But you need to keep in the forefront of your mind. When you surrender your rights, you're not only surrendering your rights, but you're surrendering 325 other million Americans. You're surrendering their rights as well, because it makes it that much more difficult for us free people to just stand up and defend our rights. So when you want to go out there and you want to surrender your rights, you need to keep in the forefront of your mind that you're not just surrendering your rights, but you're surrendering mine and 325 other million people. You're surrendering their rights as well. Now, this nonsense that happened with Boston, this Boston bombing. Now, there are a lot of crisis actors, and this happens. You know, that one train accident that happened just recently, I can't remember where the hell that was at, but I think it was in... it doesn't really matter. It was close to Washington, D.C. But these crisis actors, the media does not interview actual real witnesses. They don't interview. They interview crisis actors, and they have you have seen them time and time and time again. The Boston bombing. Now, when they're coming into people's homes, now I don't care that you're looking for this big, horrible, you know, big monster creep out there. You want to break into my home? Well, you're going to need a warrant. That's in the Constitution. I don't care that this guy is. I don't care how big of a creep he is. You want to come into my home and you want to take me out of my home with my hands up and you're going to be pointing your machine gun at me? And if their hands weren't raised up, well, they lifted them up higher and people were just happy to do it? No, I had a problem with that, and I hated when people said Boston Strong. That just really irritated me. No, you weren't Boston Strong. You were Boston Weak because you gave up your rights. You gave up your freedom. And it wasn't the police that actually caught the guy. That was a citizen that actually caught him. The police didn't even do their friggin' job. Well,
right.
I mean, come
exactly.
on.
Exactly. So here's a download about Boston. You know, we just to set the setting, we have 400 police, National Guard, and mercenaries ended up coming out of the tally later. I didn't know that they were mercenaries at the time, but you have 400 police and National Guard doing security, and they were very concentrated on the finish line. There was bomb sniffing dogs, you know, walking up and down the crowd and things like that. There was a announcement that came towards the middle of the track where they were going. There was a loudspeaker announcement that there's going to be a drill going on. That's number one. Don't forget that. There's a drill going on. And people were saying, well, why would you have a drill during a marathon?
Right.
That's stupid. But, you know, I recently did review video, and I did see this one Zarnef brother drop a pyrotechnic down on the ground and walk away. I didn't see the other one. I did see one. And at that point in time, the explosion does occur. But here's the thing. It's not a deadly explosion. The people that he centered around were actors. There's one guy there that was a famous guy who's in a wheelchair, and he had his leg blown off, and it's like, you know, the meat's gone from his bone, and they're just wheeling him down. Okay, first of all, that guy lost his leg in Afghanistan like 5 or 6 years previous. Okay, so that injury there is verifiable, and this didn't even happen. You know, can you be harmed by a pyrotechnic? And a pyrotechnic is basically an object that is meant to look like an explosion but just not be deadly. Can you
right.
be next to a pyrotechnic and get injured? Yes.
Right.
You know, are maybe one of the two people really injured from, you know, the pressure of this pyrotechnic? It's possible. I just,
right.
you know, most of the people weren't really injured. I mean, you review these, you know, when the camera's off, and you review these pictures of, oh, they're laying down and they're bleeding but they're texting at the same time. Are you serious?
I know, exactly. You just lost your friggin' leg? And who are you texting? Hi, Mom,
right.
I just lost my leg. Now,
right.
what I'd like to know, you know, but I mean, what I'd like to know is how did they get this many people? And how did they keep them from, at some point, one of these people are going to have to spill the beans. And I know if they do, they're going to have some, unfortunate, shotgun accident. But, I mean, where do they get these people from? How do they keep them from spilling the beans? I mean, do they pay them? This Virginia reporter and this cameraman, obviously they're paid off. They've got a new identity. They've got millions of dollars in their brand new bank account, obviously taxpayer dollars. But where do they find these people? I mean, other than Craigslist, I mean, how do they find these people?
Well, let me back up and say this. When Sandy Hook occurred, we, like Columbine, you would expect to see video inside. You expect to see the big, huge workup, because Columbine actually was real. They really did shoot and kill people. Sandy Hook, that didn't happen. So the absence of video, the absence of evidence of seeing, any type of somebody walk around with a gun and discharge it, that's not there. Okay, but what is there is the fact that the building was in very bad repair. There was mold everywhere. Paint was chipping. Half of the lights didn't even work. It was partially boarded up.
Well,
so
they decided to tear the school down.
There
was a desk in there. It was a storage unit. You could see from some of these pictures.
Here's the thing, though. They decided to tear the building down before anybody could go through there with an independent camera. And the crew that they tasked to tear the school down, they made them sign an agreement to never discuss what they saw. So I'm going to say right there that they're probably getting paid, whoever these people are, they're probably getting paid very well, but they're also signing an agreement to not talk. That's probably what's going on.
And if they do talk, well, then they're going to be discredited as, you're a crazy, and then they'll have some, like I said, some unfortunate, unsuspected shotgun accident, or their car will just all of a sudden swerve off the side of the road into a tree, something. They'll die of a heart attack, this and that,
I think it might even be a lot more simpler than that. Yeah, they might actually get offed. They do. But there's probably a simple agreement where we're going to give you, the government or whoever says, we're going to give you $200,000, $300,000 in your entire year's salary. But if you talk, you got to pay that back to us. Who's going to do that?
Right.
Nobody. So it's a very simple way of economically forcing people to keep their mouth shut. And I think that's what's going on, too. But then that could also be down the road, too. You talk, and all of a sudden then you have an accident. But getting back to Boston, so instead of, and I honestly do believe that these boys were asked to participate in this drill.
Right.
And they probably may have thought that they really were bombing somebody. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but I do know that there's a lot of red flags with this that just defy normal,
logic. Yeah.
Right, yeah. It's just like, well, why would this, if this is the truth, then where does this come from? But let me get into it. So, the Zarnap brother, one of them, he sets the pyrotechnic down and he walks away. The explosion happens, fake blood everywhere, fake bones, everything, blah, blah, blah. So then we get to the point where there's a reaction. And I watched this like a hawk. The police, they call out everybody trying to look for these boys. And there's a portion where the police are shooting at them and they're not returning fire. And they're saying, we're innocent. We didn't do it. We didn't do it. They just kept saying that, but they ended up getting out of that situation. They ran away. Now I'm going to skip over what happened with the boys because I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I'm going to talk about the reaction of the state. Now, the Department of Defense took over the hunt for these boys, and they declared a soft martial law that nobody knew about.
Right.
They basically told all the police officers to report to their liaisons, and they were already there and established, waiting there because they knew that this was going to happen. It was planned. So the state police reported to their government liaisons and took orders from these people. That's why you saw the Hummers and the submachine guns and, everybody racing around. And it was an amazing drill to see if you would comply with martial law. That's all it was. When CNN was doing this coverage on, we're going to try to find the guys, and they kept showing the same footage of these all these cars on the street, and the lights are blaring, and, you know, CNN people are just doing lip service and just keeping you wrapped up in the story. While that was going on, in the background they were doing drills, okay? There was the first drill that I know of. They said, oh, there's a 74-year-old man with a bomb vest on corner of blah, 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 blah. So then they come and they practice disarming him. Oh, there's an IED on bridge something, something. So then they rush over and disarm the IED. So from anyone listening to the scanner, you would think that there's a lot more going on than there really is. They just wanted to be out there and justify being on the streets of America in that capacity because they weren't really looking for him. They weren't looking for these boys. You know, there was another call of, there's a woman in a house and she's threatening officers with a gun. Now, that might have been real because, you know, they were coming in people's homes, kicking them out, looking for boys that they knew weren't there. And they're basically going, kicking people out of their homes to see if you would allow them to violate your Fourth Amendment right. Okay?
Right.
That's all that was about. You know, if you believe that there's someone in my premises that has committed a crime, show me a warrant. Show me where my residence is connected to the crime that you are investigating.
Exactly.
If you can't, you are breaking the law, and I will repel borders. That's what the people in Boston should have done, but that's not what happened. People got kicked out of their homes. You know, the cops went around stealing stuff, including firearms. It just happened to be out. They took firearms. 76 people complained that their firearms were out of their homes. You know, you had men riding around, scaring people off the street. You know, a girl took a very famous photo of an officer pointing a saw, or it might have been an M16, you know, behind a chicken plate up at a girl in a window. Okay, she's a girl. That's not the Tsarnaev brothers. So then why are you pointing the gun at her?
Exactly.
There is this disconnect from men in law enforcement where they think they're in Iraq or something. And this is America. This is your fellow Americans, okay? The communities that these guys are policing are their own. Why are they going around intimidating their own people? And there's an answer. The system wants police officers that will not obey the Constitution. They've laxed their hiring practices so that even illegals can become police officers. You have this fake organization, the Southern Poverty Law Center, that sends publications to every police outfit in the country, and all they do is demonize the American people. You know, anybody that, you know, wants the Fourth Amendment observed when a crime happens, oh, he's a terrorist. Not really a terrorist, but that's what they're telling these police, and some of them believe it. Or they're a good guy, but they don't want to, you know, create a big stink because then they'll be the odd man out because there's more bad people on the force than there's good people. Not all the time, but that's the basic dynamic. You know, if you're a guy that wants the banks accountable for the TARP money and stimulus and QE3, QE4, which are all the same things just by different names, you're a terrorist. You know, if you don't believe in warrantless wiretapping as a good thing and you know, evisceration of your rights, you're a terrorist. So these are the types of things that they're sending to the police, and the police are required to read them. So why is this happening? They want to separate the law enforcement of their own community from the community. Because in that respect, it's easier for that officer to do illegal things to the people of that same community. That's what they want. That's what their goal is.
You're absolutely correct. And here's what here's my question to you. Now, if you look at a lot of this stuff within Boston, Sandy Hook in Connecticut, Colorado, I mean, these are very – and I hate to bring politics into this, but I'm going to have to. These are very, very liberal areas. And so it's much easier to get a liberal to just simply give up their rights because that's what a liberal is. Okay, I've got a right. Okay, well, you can have it, Mr. Government. I don't want it. I don't need it anymore. Here it is. Well, it's very easy to do that in Boston and Connecticut and Colorado. But if you were to go to certain other areas where it's very – you know, more, you know, certain areas in Texas, you know, a lot of areas in Texas anymore is very liberal. But, I mean, I'm talking certain areas where it's very conservative. I don't think they would be able to get I don't think they'd be able to get away with it so much as they did in Boston and Connecticut and Colorado, because they can get people to give up their rights very easy, and they can show on television, hey, look how easy it is to give up your rights. They did it in Boston, so if we come into your town, you've got to do it too. I mean, am I close to their thinking on this, and as far as the media, or am I just over exaggerating?
No. You're spot on. You're absolutely spot on, because that's what the danger is. Is that they will pick an area that will fight back. And I'm going to be honest with you, that I know of some of these areas that if they ride in there with Hummers, by the end of the day, the citizens will have them.
Right.
So it'll be like, you're just giving us your stuff. So they won't ride out. They'll ride in, but they won't ride out. And that's the danger, because that's what we don't want. We don't want a conflagration where we're forced to fight, you know, the law enforcement, because that's not what we want. It's not beneficial, and that's in the plan. That's exactly what the system wants, because then the system can demonize everything and look legitimate. And that's the thing that the system wants. It wants legitimacy so bad. It wants to look like everything it's doing is for your own good, when in fact it's
right.
not. You know, exactly. this terror apparatus that they're building is not justified against the American people. You know, the American people are not going around hiding grenades in their crotch. So then why do you have the TSA checking people's junk as they get on the airplane?
You just pushed the wrong button with me on that TSA. I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna let you go. But no, you're absolutely correct. And you know, especially with what happened after 9/11. Okay, now, you know, I watched the second plane hit that tower. You know, on television in my cab stand. So, you know, exactly what happened before, what happened during, and what happened after. I mean, it's a crapshoot to figure out really all that really went on. But one thing that I did not like, and I'm a conservative, and I did support George Bush at first, but the second time, no, I did not vote for him. I voted for myself. I didn't like the way we went into Iraq, and I did not like the way we went into Afghanistan. I thought the way we handled it was wrong. Absolutely, don't even get me started on that. But this NDAA, and I'm sure you're probably an expert on that, but this nonsense here, okay, don't try to, you know, strike fear into me and I'm going to give up my rights because I'm afraid. No. I'm not going to give up my rights because I'm brave, not because I'm afraid. I'm not going to do that. This NDAA, I'm sorry, but no, I don't find it. That Patriot Act, I never liked that Patriot Act. It's too open ended. They can put anybody in these black sites. They can put anybody, they can label anybody a terrorist that they want to, and they can bring you in there. You don't need counsel. You're not going to get counsel. You're not going to get anything. They can do whatever the hell they want to you and keep you there for as long as they want to, and it's legal. Well, it's not legal, because we have a little thing called the United States Constitution, and no matter what law that you come up with, I don't care if it's in Congress or the president with his little magic pen, you cannot make a law that overrides the Constitution. And we got too many people in this country, number one, that don't know the Constitution. They've never read it. They don't understand it. So when you tell them it's unconstitutional, they have no idea what the hell you're talking about. No friggin' clue. Now, this NDAA and this Patriot Act, now, how are you on that? I mean, I personally, I don't like either one of them. I mean, am I over-exaggerating? Am I looking too deep into this? Or am I...
You're spot on. Basically, the NDAA says that if the government decides to declare anyone a terrorist, they reserve that right. And once they do that, then you're no longer a citizen, pretty much administratively. You know, they can hold you indefinitely. They don't have to tell your family that they have you. You cannot challenge you know, you can't have a habeas corpus challenge. You can't challenge your detention. You can't say, oh, you know what, you know, I take the Fifth or whatever, or I want my lawyer. They are not bound to give you one legally. They can hold you indefinitely. They can probably torture you while they're in there, and they don't have to tell anybody you died. You know, the NDAA is exactly what the kings and queens used to do in Europe. If you spoke against the king or queen, they basically just round you up, kill you, torture you, and nobody else heard from you. You know, you always see these movies where there's like you walk in a dungeon and there's like a skeleton in this cage hanging up on the ceiling.
Right. Yeah. Chained up. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where we're headed. There's one NDAA facility, I suspect, in upstate New York. Some people tried to go there and see this abandoned prison, and they were stopped immediately up the road from it. There's another one in Chicago where Underground Media did a very good job of highlighting that, where people were picked up and they weren't charged for 2 to 3, 4 weeks, and some were never charged, but they were held. We're in that area of history right now where we're back during the time before our Bill of Rights was established, where you can be just picked up and just whisked away, black bagged, and, you know, nobody'd hear from you. And that's not the society that we want. That's exactly why we fought the revolution, to stop that type of treatment.
And, thank you.
You know, and aside from all this, I just don't see where the system is going to wise up and say, okay, we'll stop. That never happens.
No.
You know, the human beings have a long, torturous history of trying to be free.
Right.
And it's never, freedom has never come through peaceful means. It never has.
There's somebody
that bleeds. There's somebody that dies. There's somebody that gets cut right. up and shot up and bombed. It has never come to where, you know what, hey, we're sorry. We've learned the error of our ways, and we'll let you have your freedom. It's never going to happen that way. So aside from that, I don't know, you know, how we're going to get out of this except by other means, and I don't really want to say what those are. But
you're absolutely correct, and I talk about this on my show all the time. And like I've already said it earlier, you know, you're right, and you cannot get freedom without war. You can't get peace without war. It's unfortunate. Look, I didn't design the human being. I just know how these dumb bastards work. And you are not going to get peace without war. But we can do it. We can do it. We just have to do it. But nobody wants to do it. And I really believe that our government, our law enforcement, and there's a lot of other people, they want a war. It's like they're asking for it. They're pushing for a war, and I don't understand why. I mean, I guess maybe I'm just not hardwired for that, but it just seems to me that our government and our law enforcement is pushing for a war against the citizens, and we don't need that. Now, this phony baloney crap in Baltimore and Ferguson, okay, that's a manufactured war. That's not a real war. I don't talk about that on my show. The media loves to talk about that because they're making, you know, gazillions of dollars with advertisements. Oh, we've got a special on Ferguson. We got a special on Baltimore. But that's not the real war. There's a real war going on down there with the government and the police against the citizens, but we never hear that. We don't hear that on television. And these FEMA camps, you know, I mean, do you know very much about these FEMA camps? I'm trying to learn. And, you know, I've learned, I don't like.
Well, I want to address the Patriot Act first of all. First of all, the Patriot Act came out right after, you know, 9/11
right.
and all this other kind of stuff, but it really attacks your right to privacy. You know, out of the 1,100 1,200 cases that they've tried, the last time I checked, only 7 were related to terrorism. So the bulk of those, the 99% of those cases, were against American people, and they were used, or the Patriot Act was invoked, during times of domestic violence or a drug deal or something like that. So the case very easily could be said the Patriot Act is really for the American people, because that's who they're using it against. And,
right.
you know, again, that needs to be repealed. But I do want to say there are some police officers out there that see what's going on. You know, I talk to police
exactly. You're
and
right.
military all the time. And, you know, some are just as dumbed down as you could just imagine. You know, some are scared because of the environment that they're in. You can't be a good guy right now. It's very
well,
hard.
If they are a good guy and they stand up and say something, well, they're going to lose their career. They're going to have an unfortunate accident where a perpetrator shot him when it wasn't somebody else.
So now there's a lot of police and military that are under the radar. They're with us, but they can't seem as though they're with us. So there's that component. And then there is the other component where the people do want to take your rights away. You know, the anti-Second Amendment treaty, the ATT, Kerry signed us on to. And, you know, everybody always tells me that, you know, our Constitution says that treaties have to be ratified by Congress. And, yes, that is correct. But since when have they followed the Constitution? Honestly think, just like immigration, just like he sidestepped Congress, he didn't make a law and says we're going to accept 20 million illegal aliens. He never said that. He just did it. Between Bush and Obama, they both did it.
Right.
So the case can be easily made that they're just going to try to implement behind the scenes anyway. And that's the new danger that we have, is that the ATT basically says that, you know, all the weapons, 99% of all the weapons that the Americans have to be turned in and destroyed. You can no longer make your own ammunition. You cannot be in possession of destructive devices like your gunpowder. I love making rounds. That means that will be illegal. And the very few weapons that will be left in American hands will be placed on an international registry where all the countries know what you have. So this is what this traitor, John Kerry, signed the United States onto. And I'm sorry, but, you know, he's a traitor. And
he is.
The American people are not going to go for it. So here's the thing. If they aren't going to use the treaty, why sign it? So at some point, we know down the road that this will become something that's drawn to the forefront. So what's going to draw it to the forefront? You reverse engineer a lot of these things that are happening. Look at Operation Fast and Furious, where they actually gave weapons, and a lot of them did come from Army bases. They were, you know, like fully automatic and class weapons like grenade launchers, something that you can't get at your local's buddy's gun store. But they gave these to the cartels. Oh, because we wanted to see where they went. Okay, no, you armed the cartels, and then you wanted to try to blame their violence that they created with the guns that came off our bases on the Second Amendment, but it backfired. So here's the next level of stupidity. Now, you know, you have these refugees that are coming in from Syria, and I've been screaming to the top of my lungs, ISIS is embedded with these people. You know,
yes.
I would say that the Syrians are very nice, moderate people. They're not really hardcore like they are in Arabia. So, you know, when they come here, they'll be nice, quiet people, but then you still have ISIS in with them. So here's how this is going, and I hope to God that I'm wrong, but here's how the trend is. Maybe 2,000-3,000 ISIS fighters, and as of last week, it was 10,000 Syrians they're going to let in the country. Now it's 80,000, and by the time next year, it's going to be like maybe 100,000 to 200,000.
Right.
Now let's say 1% of those people are bad. Now you're talking 2,000 to 3,000 people. I would guesstimate that maybe 3,000 of these ISIS guys will be in the United States. Okay. These people.
Well, I think we've got probably 3,000 ISIS right here. I mean, there's a lot of people that talk about we created ISIS. And look, as far as the information goes that I've been privy to, I can't see any evidence to support that we did not create ISIS.
Right.
And
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, am I wrong?
Right. No. You're absolutely right. The Mujahideen that were fighting, actually, I better even back up even before that. There was a plan to make the Soviet Union collapse. Okay, so what they decided to do is they decided to use war. They had the Mujahideen, or people acting on their behalf, attack Russia first. Russia comes down and decides to invade Afghanistan. Then we take the Mujahideen, we train them, we give them Stinger missiles, Stinger version 1s. We give them any kind of support that we can to fight the Russians, to draw them in a long, protracted conflict so they would run out of money. And that's exactly what happened. It was all aimed at their money, their economy, and they ended up falling because of Afghanistan, really. But getting back to the Mujahideen, Mujahideen was then drafted into Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda then is repurposed, given new leadership, and now they're ISIS, but they're the same people. Different tactics, but they're the same people. ISIS right now enjoys airstrikes on behalf of NATO. They get their medical and logistical support from Israel. When they're in Syria and they're fighting Assad, which we should be, you know, if this terrorism concept is real, we should be helping Assad and not trying to bomb him. But that's what's happening. You know, when ISIS is engaged with Assad and they get wounded, they go right back over to the border of Israel and they help them. They patch them up and send them back into the fight.
Is Israel, and I've heard a lot of this stuff, and I got to admit, I am ignorant, and that's why I bring people like you on so I can learn. But, I mean, is Israel kind of like what the United States are? Is Israel helping fund some of these terrorist groups as well so they can get, like, support from the rest of the world? Oh, we're being, you know, we're being attacked. Help us, help us, help us. I mean, I don't really know what to think. I just don't know. But, I mean, I don't know what to trust. I don't know who to trust. I don't know who to believe and what to believe.
Here's the thing. You know, as far as the subject of terrorism, Israel basically does it, too. They're not exempt from any of this. ISIS enjoys their logistical support, sporadic weapons, and especially their medical support from Israel. So Israel is not, you know, by any means, you know, innocent in this. They also bomb Assad forces too. So the reason why you see the country emptying now is the Russians have decided this is enough. Enough is enough, and we're going to stabilize this region. So they just established an air base near their naval base in Syria, because they never gave up their connection to Syria. So that presents a clear and present danger to the maybe 120,000, 150,000 ISIS fighters in country right now. So that's probably why they're leaving, because they know that they're probably not going to win. But, you know, like I said, you know, NATO is helping them, the United States is helping them, but then tries to act like, you know, oh, these are bad guys and, you know, we need to bomb. Okay, first of all, you have satellites with real-time intel. You know where they are, but now one bomb has fallen on these guys. Doesn't that seem strange to you?
Right, and it's same with Benghazi. I mean, come on. I mean, we knew exactly what the hell was happening before it happened. We might have been involved in even planning what happened in Benghazi. I mean,
here's the issue with that. You know, that was all about a weapons transfer to Al-Qaeda from the United States.
Right.
Ambassador Stevens, I would imagine at some point, wasn't down with it. He's like, well, listen, this is stupid. I'm pulling out. That's why, you know, he decided to do that, and he was put on the hit. They did that on purpose. There was Navy SEALs at a safe house not that far away, and they knew that Ambassador Stevens was in trouble. They repeatedly asked command, can we intervene? Can we go get them? They said, nope. So what does that say to you? It says to me they let Ambassador Stevens die for purpose, for cause.
Exactly. Now, those guys that were on the ground, the CIA and some of these, you know, Navy SEALs, okay, they probably had no idea that any of this was going on. They just thought, hey, wait a minute. We've got one of our guys over here being attacked. We want to go help. Now, they're keeping them ignorant. I firmly believe that they're keeping them ignorant. And they're exempt from anything. It was our own government that did this. It was our own government who killed Ambassador Stevens. And it's just unfortunate that Tyrone Woods, Sean Smith, and Glenn Doherty, and don't tell me that they're the only four that died in that attack. And I've talked about this several times. They're the only four that we are told that died. But that was a big attack. There was a lot of people being injured, and God only knows where, you know, how many people died afterwards after their injuries. But those are the innocent ones, and they wanted to help. But, yeah, was there a stand-down order? You damn Skippy there was.
Yes, there
you
was.
You damn Skippy there was. And
but
for
now the
what?
Issue is, the issue is that these ISIS characters are much more deadlier than Al-Qaeda was. Not that Al-Qaeda was never our baby. But the CIA created them and managed them and all that other kind of stuff to justify us being in Iraq. But, you know, ISIS, they have very basic knowledge on how to create chemical weapons. You know, they did that to the Assad regime and then tried to set them up, and it didn't work. It didn't go anywhere. So Assad decided, hey, I'm going to cut out in front of this, and I'm going to give up my chemical weapons stockpile, and that's what he did. So, you know, these guys are very well trained, and they're very, very good at doing things that are low tech.
Hey, they're the major leagues.
You know, they have missiles during that transfer too that are capable of shooting down an airline. So, right. You know, this is a very bad organization. And then we're supposed to believe that, first of all, we should be giving up our rights for this organization that is enjoying American weaponry, American ingenuity and intel and money and arms. We're supposed to be giving up our rights for these guys that are on the CIA payroll. I will not do it.
No,
I tell everybody, do not comply. When there's something that happens and they want to say, okay, now we got to, you know, get rid of all the guns, or you can't drive this type of car anymore, or, you know, all you guys got to turn in your yellow shirts because, you know, freaking ISIS likes yellow. Whatever the case is, do not comply, because that's exactly what they want you to do. They want you to feel like you have absolutely no recourse but to do what they want.
Yeah, and, you know, you're right. And they try to create, you know, that fear. That, oh, ISIS is so terrible. Yes, they are terrible. They're horrible. They're horrible people. Well, there's a lot of horrible people in the world. It's just human nature to be horrible. Again, I didn't design the human being. I just know how we are. But I'm not going to give up my rights, my liberties, my freedoms for anybody. I don't care how horrible you are. Giving up my rights, freedoms, and liberties because somebody is horrible is just going to make them even more horrible. Why can't people understand that? I mean, I'm a dummy over here, and I can figure this out. Come on.
The problem with the average American person is that we're so overwhelmed with just trying to put food on the table, and life is hard. You know, we're currently in the middle of a depression, and it looks like it's about to get a heck of a lot worse. So there's a lot of people out there that just honestly really don't have the time to worry about their own freedom. I know how it sounds. Everybody should be worried about their freedom, but the dynamics of how everybody's life works, it's hard to take your eye off the ball of what they feel is important. But even when you look at history, you know, you had one-third of the people that were here during the first revolution, they were hot and bothered and mad. And then you had, you know, one-third that didn't want to fight, and you had one-third that basically was sympathetic to England. So no matter what, you're going to have a percentage of people that just want to be conned. You're going to have a percentage of people that sympathize with the system. And you're going to have a percentage of people that are tired of it and they're going to fight. You can't worry about the first two. You just can't. You have to worry about you, you know, and your friends and family that you can depend on if something happens. But I mentioned ISIS coming here because the system does not have legitimacy having this big, huge terrorist apparatus against the American people because we're not a security threat. So they're going to bring the security threat here so they can look legitimate. That's what the next step is.
You're right.
And that's why this is a very ominous and very bad turn. I predicted this 3 years ago. You know, they took ISIS, and you know, these guys were recruited from all over the Arab world, this Wahhabi mindset that they have, and they're very prejudiced, very secular. You know, they're described as Muslims, but they're not really Muslims because Muslim, you know, people don't attack first. ISIS will just kill you just because. You know, they took a lot of the Africans and they put them in cages. They spat on them, called them dogs, and then killed thousands of them. You know, so they're not the savory type of people. But then, you know, they're going to the Obama administration is going to bring these people here. So then you're going to really have terror. It'll be real. It'll be legitimate.
That's what I want to ask. I mean, now look, full disclosure, I've been over there. I've been overseas. I have met Muslims over there in their country. And I got to admit, even though everywhere you went, there was a machine gun. Somebody had a machine gun. Somebody had, something there. I've seen a stoning. So I know what goes on over there. But I was treated actually very nice. And I've met Muslims over here, and I've been treated very nice. But that's before 9/11. Before 9/11. After 9/11, everything seemed to change. Now, with these people that are coming over here, Now, if you look at it, most of them coming over here, there are no women and children. These are young, militarized, or military men.
Right.
There's no women and children. Now, it just tells me that these are coming over here. You're right, like what you were talking about, to bring the terror over here. Now, it's much easier to say, well, we've got terror over here, so we need martial law. We need this. We need that. We need this Patriot Act. We need you to do this. We need that.
Right.
We need tyranny because it's for your safety. That's what it seems
like. And you're spot on again, because I don't know one guy, if he had to leave the United States for some strange reason, I don't know one guy that would leave his mom. And most of these guys, you know, you would expect in a mass migration where people are evacuating that they're going to take their loved ones, they're going to take their wife, they're going to take their kids, and especially not going to leave their mom there. You don't see any of these guys with their mom.
No.
So they're being brought here for a reason. So, you know, and again, I've been screaming this for the past 3 years. Once they bring them here, it's the next phase is going to start. And this is the stupid phase. This is the crazy phase. This is the phase where there really will be terror here. There really will be this perceived need to take our rights away. And people can't be trapped into this fallacy that's being built around them. You really have to sit back and say, you know what, you know, I'm going to tell your listeners, do not forget the fact that they're importing the terrorists here now. Don't forget that. So when something happens and they say you got to turn your rights in, don't comply. Don't.
Exactly.
They're creating the problem so that the solution will look legitimate, and it won't be.
Right. No, it's very hard to convince some of these people, and I can't tell you how many people I've argued with. You know, in person, on Facebook, and everywhere. And I'm so sick and tired of that friggin' Facebook. I'm so sick and tired of, you know, social media. I really am. I'm done with it. You know, again, like anything else, any kind of technology is either a tool, or if it's misused, you know, if it's misused, it becomes a weapon. And right now, social media is more of a weapon than it is a tool. It's a great tool if used properly. But this is how they're getting you. They're getting you on Facebook. They're getting you on Twitter. They're getting you on that cockamamie television. I hate that television. I really do. And even talk radio. I'm sorry, but these so-called, you know, talk radio conservatives, they're making me sick. Sean Hannity and Mark Levin, I used to love you, but you know what? I'm done. They're actually perpetrating and supporting this crap. Sean Hannity is out there supporting more tyranny than what he talks about. And I'm sick and tired of that. I am so goddamn sick and tired of being lied to. I cannot tell you. I am just flat friggin' tired of it. I can't take any more of it. I cannot take being lied to.
That's exactly why this program and programs like it are very important, because there's no censorship here. And I applaud the fact that you want to get people on to tell the truth, because CNN and Fox News and all these other guys are not going to tell you. They're going to help misinform you so that you'll give up your rights and everything will go just fine. And, you know, that's not conducive to keeping our rights. So it's very important that programs like these spring up everywhere, and we all get on the same page. And the last thing I want to say before, because I'm going to have to go in about 5 minutes, there's a component of divide and conquer, okay? Historically, it has always happened. Within the past 1,000 years, it's always happened. When a minority shows up on the shores of a majority, the minority has to find a way to take over the masses, and they've always done it through psychological means, either by trickery or by bribery, or by show of force. It's always happened. Britain did it, you know, France did it, Portugal did it, all the colonial powers did it. And even, you know, a lot of states inside continents, like, you know, continents in Africa, South America, and in Asia, things like that. So the issue then becomes, don't fall into the traps that they're going to put in front of you. You know, don't be polarized and go to one side, because they expect you to do that. Like Black Lives Matter. Okay. I personally believe everybody's life matters. So why should only black people's life matter? Why should only white people's lives matter, or Asian people? You know what I mean? It's like, don't fall into the polarization. They're going to try to do it.
They're going to phony war, and they're wanting to get people, you're right, they wanted to get people polarized. They're doing
right.
this, and look, there are a lot of vulnerable black people out there. Okay, yeah, they've been arrested a couple of times. Well, now you got the media telling you, oh, you're being tyrannized, you're being attacked, you're being this, you're being that. Well, you're going to get a certain percentage of them going, yeah, I will,
right.
yeah.
Right,
and
right. You got
attacking these people. That's
like you got in Baltimore, you had the new Black Panthers, and then you had the KKK on one side, and then on the other side, the new Black Panthers. What they're trying to do is, in your mind and in your audience mind, they're trying to create polarization where
right.
everyone is separated and they go to your perspective side or what side appeals to you. Everybody needs to know they're going to keep doing this to you until you figure it out. Don't take a side. Stay in the middle. Be slow to be angry. I'm not saying that when people kick you out of your home, you take it. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that when you see stories like these in the news, be slow to react, be slow to take a side, be mindful, be observant. Get all the facts that you can, and then when the time is right, then you conclude by yourself what you think happened. Now,
right,
you know, if you get into the
words right out of my mouth. I've said that
right.
so many times, so I thank you for saying what I have said. So now I know that I have said the truth because I've heard it from you, an expert. Thank you
very much.
But anyway, I do know that you have to go, Al. And look, hey, I really want to appreciate, I really want to thank you for coming on here. I do appreciate you coming on here, telling the truth. You've been very informative. Very educational. You are welcome aboard my ship anytime that you want. If you've got something you want to get your, you know, on your chest that you want to get off your chest, you just call this program again and we will let you on. I really do appreciate, you know, the information that that you have given not only to me but to my audience, and I'm pretty sure that my audience did appreciate it as well. I know we've got a few people in the chat room that is very grateful as well. But, again, thank you, Al, for coming on here. I could talk to you all night long. You just got so much information. You believe in the same kind of things that I believe in. We could go on forever. You don't shut up. I don't shut up. And we should never shut up. We shouldn't shut up.
Yeah.
Why should we shut up? You know what I'm saying? Why
yeah.
should we stop talking? Oh, because we don't want to rock the boat? I want to rock the boat. I want to rock this friggin' boat. I want to shake it up. And that, you know, and again, you mentioned something about, you know, the mainstream media and the shows like this. Well, if it wasn't for Blog Talk Radio, say what you want. But you're right. We don't have censorship. We're not beholden to corporate monkeys. We don't have to worry about a program director who has no friggin' idea what the hell he's doing. We don't have to worry about these advertisers. Oh, we said the wrong thing. I'm going to pull my advertisement. No, we don't have that. We have people, real Americans, talking about real American issues, and that's why I really like Blog Talk Radio. And that's why I like being here, and I've met a lot of really good people on Blog Talk Radio. The Radio Jihad Network, those are great people. No, they're not a hate group. They do not hate Muslims. I know they get a bad rap, but they're not. They're talking about the same kind of stuff that we're talking about here. There's a lot of people on there. Christopher Bruce, you've been on his program, America's Deadly Sins. Okay, this is a fighter. He walks the walk and he talks the talk. He goes out there and he actually does it. We are real Americans, just like you, Al. We're real Americans talking about real issues that the shame stream media, and that's what I call them, they are shameful. They're the shame stream media. They refuse to cover this stuff because, God forbid, if we accidentally told the truth, somebody might get exposed and we might lose our advertising. How are we going to make any money? Well, you'll make a hell of a lot of money if you started telling the truth. And that's all I'm asking for, and I'm pretty sure, Al, that's all you want to know, too, is the truth. You don't really care what the truth is as long as you hear what the truth is. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. Absolutely
right. All right. Well, Al, I do know you got to get going. Once again, I can't thank you enough for coming aboard this program. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to cut this, you know, kind of short, but Al is a really good guy. He's filled with just an enormous amount of information. American Patriots. It's on Facebook. You can go on there and you can check out the documents that they have. You can check out this. You can check out that. They back up what they talk about. They just don't, you know, talk about it and then not give any information. They back it up. You back it up or you shut it up. And that's what it takes in this country. That's what it takes. But nobody wants to do that anymore. Everybody just wants to give their opinion. They want to give a Facebook post or they want to comment on a Facebook post because everybody's a friggin' genius. Well, you're not a friggin' genius. You're a friggin' idiot. So knock it off. Get yourself informed. There's a lot of bad things going on in this country here today, and I'm sorry. I know you cop slobberers out there. You want to say, oh, the police are so great and wonderful. Oh, they do this and they do that and blah, 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 blah. But they don't. They are your enemy. They're out to attack you. Not every single cop. Don't even come close to making a generalization. I hate when people do that. When you say something, oh, everybody's got to jump to all these conclusions. Stop jumping to conclusions. Knock it off. Listen. Don't hear. There's a world of difference between hearing and listening. Hearing simply means you're picking up sounds. Listening means you are understanding what the sounds you are picking up. But you can't possibly understand what people are talking about when you are talking. And with the first step of listening, it means you stop talking, not just with your mouth, but with your mind. Do not speak in your mind when people are talking to you. You do not put your context, your nuance to other people's words. You have to put their context and their nuance to their words, but you can't possibly pick up on that when you are not listening. Pay attention, people. Look, there's a real war going on out there. There's a real war, and yeah, you are the target. You are their target. And until you understand that, until you come to grips with that, well, you're going to continue being their target. I don't want to be anybody's target. Nobody's target. And thank God for Al coming on here and talking about this stuff. And I'm with him. I will not comply. And don't you comply either. And again, like I said before, when you give up your rights, your freedoms, your liberties, you're not just giving up yours. You're giving up everybody else's. So think about that. Think about that the next time that you give up your rights, liberties, and freedoms, you're giving up everybody else's rights, liberties, and freedoms. You think about that. All right, I want to thank everybody listening here tonight. I know we had a lot of people in my queue that were listening on their smartphones. I know we had quite a few people that were in the chat room. I want to thank Cecilia, Sharon Watson, and my good friend Christopher Bruce for tuning in. I do know that we have a lot of people that do listen in archive. We got a lot of people that listen in archive. So I want to thank you for listening. Look, if it wasn't for you people, the show wouldn't still be on. I wouldn't do it if I didn't have an audience, but it's because of you is why I have an audience. So I really do want to thank you for tuning in. And I really want to thank Al again. I know he's gone, but I really want to thank him for coming on here and talking about things that are important matters. These are important matters. These are important issues that we need to discuss, but we can't discuss this on the Sean Hannity show. We can't discuss this on MSNBC or CNN. We can't discuss this ABC, CBS. We can't discuss that. Oh, my God, you're telling the truth. Oh, God, cut him off. Cut him off. He's a domestic terrorist. He told the truth. Quick, get a SWAT team. We got to arrest this son of a bitch. He told the friggin' truth. That's right, I did tell the friggin' truth. And I am unapologetic about it. I will never apologize for telling the truth. You got a problem with that? Well, that's your problem. It's not my problem. I am not going to take a responsibility for your ignorance. You take the responsibility for your own ignorance. I refuse. So again, I want to thank my guest tonight, Al, and I want to thank all of you that were listening here tonight. And make sure that you tune in tomorrow night. Now, look, on Fridays, we forget about all the evil that's going on in the world. And there's a lot of evil going on in the world. But on Fridays, we forget about that evil, and we talk about things that really matter to Americans, and that is sports. Now, look, you don't have to like sports. You can hate sports. That's fine. You're missing the point. The point is, yes, we do have to talk about things that we hate, but we also have to talk about things that we love. Otherwise, we lose focus. We lose focus. Don't lose focus of who you are. And I talk about sports because I love sports. I do. And if I had to talk about this crap 5 days a week, I'd be a friggin' basket case. Of course, I am half a basket case anyway. But I'd be really a basket case if I had to talk about this 5 days a week. So I really strongly believe it is very important to talk about not only the things that we don't like, but the things that we do like. So we do not lose focus. We cannot forget who we are. Who we are. Who you are. You don't like to talk about sports? Well, then find another station on Blog Talk Radio. Find, you know, watch your Kardashians. I don't give a damn. Watch what you like. Listen to what you like. Do what you like. You've got to do that. Don't lose focus of who you are. Never forget who you are. You can't do that. You cannot forget who you are. Well, I am who I am. And yes, I am an individual. I am an individual. I like a lot of things that none of my friends like. I dislike a lot of things that none of my friends like or dislike. I don't care what my friends and my family like or dislike. But I'm not them. I'm me. I like and dislike what I like and what I dislike. And you need to do the same. You need to do the same. So if you do like sports, well, we're going to cover the NFL picks of the week. And I got a great crew. I really do. These guys are very, very intelligent sports guys. And they know everything. I don't. I'm a fan. I just like to watch the game. But they come on here and they talk about all the ins and outs of the game. So if you like football and you want to hear the picks of the week, well, then you call the program. It's a great show. It's a great show, and you'll have fun. You don't have to participate if you don't want to, but just listen. And listening is okay. Look, we need a lot more people just listening. Too many people talk, including me. But I'm just trying to make a point that we can't forget who we are. We do have to talk about things that we do like so we don't lose focus. So if you like sports, you like the NFL, make sure you tune in tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Thanks again for listening, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow night at 8. Goodbye, everybody.